Welcome to the Cycling Matters podcast, your weekly dose of discussions about our love for bike.
Bike.
Yay! So this podcast is brought to you in cooperation with Ciclo. Hello, I'm Karen.
And I'm Jen.
So in this episode, we talk to Alex Silva, a proponent for the development of a local bike frame building industry in the Philippines. We ask him why he thinks local construction is important, what it can do for Filipino cyclists, and we talk about the Cub. We also talk about the recent developments that might see more Filipinos taking to the streets on bicycles. And we ask, can bikes go mainstream in the Philippines? But before everything else, do subscribe to the Cycling Matters podcast on Spotify, YouTube, and other podcast platforms. We release new episodes every Monday. Just search Cycling Matters, tap subscribe or follow, and enjoy the discussion.
All right. So very interesting yung climate right now. I feel like the past 2 or 3 weeks have been really action-packed in terms of our bicycles, the cycling advocacy and the community. And that's why we're discussing this right now in this episode. Diba? What, now that we're at the point where we're actually seeing a lot of cyclists on the road, is it something that can go mainstream? And I think the first thing that we've noticed is that there's been this demand has shown na kulang yung infrastructure natin, kulang yung capacity natin to provide end of trip facilities, di ba? Yeah. And one thing is that parking in malls have become a challenging part of the life of people who are now riding to work and riding to buy their essential goods. A lot of people even messaging us on our Facebook page asking, "Sir, baka pwede naman tulungan nyo kami masabihan itong mall na to, bakit kulang parking or bakit hindi safe?" Okay? And that brings up that exposes this need for more safe, secure, and ample parking space for bicycles. To name a few, I think we've known that Ayala Malls and Mega World, even before the pandemic, no, meron na silang, a good start. And when it comes, they had a good start, head start when it comes to bike parking. See, Ayala Malls, they're known for their colored green racks. You would see siguro in each mall, nalala ko yan kay UP Town sa kasi Ayala 30th, meron yan dalawang enough for around 15 bikes or 10 bikes in total. Si Mega World naman, yung meron siya ng parang silver na medyo triangular individual stands na naka-bore sa loop.
Is Mega World like Eastwood?
Sa Eastwood, oh,
okay. Yeah, because not so familiar. I don't really go there.
And then I think last year din yung sinimulan nila na mayroon ng pump, di ba, na fixed pump.
Yeah. I think I've heard about
people can actually use. And of course, we're seeing na mayroong need for SM malls. Pero last week, we also heard that nag-keep up naman na. They're already starting to open up car parking slots and placing steel barricades as a alternative form of bicycle rack. And eventually, nakita natin si Podium naman ay naglabas na lang parang vertical yung pagkaka-display ng mga bikes. No? But other than just the bike parking in malls, I think another thing that happened recently is that we saw that there were several house bills and Senate bills that are in place. I wouldn't say in place, but like being proposed. No? Several lawmakers are proposing different ways to adapt to the needs of the pandemic through the cycling as one of the solutions. So there's Senate Bill number 285, which addresses the need for an explicit statement in support of and finally, there's a bill that advocates a petition for decades already. Mayroon namang Senate Bill number 1518, which talks about the urgency of setting up pop-up bicycle lanes and reallocating our road space given the current pandemic. And then there's Senate Bill number 66, 319, 332, and 948, which recognizes the role of the bicycle in reducing air pollution and mitigating its impact on health conditions, especially now during this crisis. So it's nice to see that, you know, damning efforts, even our lawmakers are recognizing it, and we're actually, the issue, the topic is actually getting airtime in hearings. And I think we have the momentum right now. No? How about you, Karen? Any things that you've noticed in the mainstream?
Yeah, so speaking of the hearing, another thing that was brought up, I think, during the hearing, if I'm not mistaken, was, you know, MMDA and DOTR's role in pushing for protected bike infrastructure. So there's been a lot of talk about that. For instance, I think back May 29, if I'm not mistaken, DOTR published this graphic design? I don't know. sorry.
diagram.
Diagram. I'm so sorry. Yeah, a diagram of how they hope EDSA would look like. Although we're not sure of like their exact execution of the plan, but hopefully it will come to fruition. How it looks like is on the leftmost side of the road is a dedicated bus lane. I think it's going to be might be a bus rapid transit lane, and then if there are two lanes for cars, and then there's a protected bicycle lane on EDSA. So
supposedly
so and with the on the other hand with the MMDA, well as of I guess this recording, we're still not, well, they have finally promised that they will have protected bicycle infrastructure, although there's still a lot of, I guess, controversy on how that will pan out.
It's a very confusing time, no? Because like, when we joined the Senate committee hearing on the Senate bills that I mentioned earlier, it seemed like the DOTR and the other agencies, national agencies, we're aligned in and we were agreeing that we need bicycles, we need bicycle infrastructure. But we're seeing the opposite in terms of how the MMDA is implementing, or I wouldn't say implementing any measures that they're doing right now. So parang nandun yung confusion. So online people have been really expressing their, I don't know what the right word is for it, but let's just put it at confusion.
Yeah, I mean, I personally find it very confusing. And I do hope that it will be resolved. They always mention the safety of cyclists, but, you know, like what's actually best for the safety of cyclists is at least some form of protected infrastructure rather than nothing at all. So other than that, Pasig Transport has back in March, at the start of ECQ, they declared cycling as an essential form of transportation, which is a pretty big thing because I think back at the time it wasn't really clear whether it was essential or not. But I think it was a good move on Pasig to do that. They did that through an executive order supported by resolution by the Sangguniang. So key provisions, just things to keep in mind is that bicycle shops could be open. Because aside from, like, if you're going to make cycling essential, you would need the bike shops to be open. That was like an issue I personally found during the when we were under enhanced community quarantine, like bike shops weren't considered essential by a lot of LGUs. So you have more people cycling. But then what if like naflatan sila and they're still beginners, or like what if there's something wrong with their part? So it's good that Pasig recognized bike shops as essential and that they could open. And there's also provision of accessible pedestrian infrastructure, repair, rehab, and upgrade of existing bicycle infrastructure, as Pasig is known for having existing bicycle infrastructure in place. Yeah. What else, John?
Well, and then yung initiative that was started by EDSA Evolution. We've had Keisha Mayuga on the podcast, and she also formed a team, and they called it the EDSA Evolution. And the group had close coordination with MMDA over 1 week. And last month in May, biglang on a Sunday morning, they set up a 1.4-kilometer pop-up bike lane from EDSA White Plains to EDSA Boniserano. And it was a happy time. Like there were 500 cyclists who used the bike lane for 5 hours. So nangyari lang siya from 7 a.m. to 12 noon, despite the original announcement that it was supposed to be from 7 a.m. to 12 midnight. The report was that MMDA had to remove the pop-up bike lanes because there weren't enough volunteers to, you know, man the experiment or the trial. And again, that was a point of confusion for a lot of people because in the morning, natuwa lahat ng tao, uy, meron ng ano, pop-up bike lanes. Thank you, MMDA. Thank you for finally acting on this need. And then by lunchtime, as people were having their meals, suddenly the pop-up bicycle lane was gone. And I think that's when we really started to see how a lot of people started to get concerned because nandun na, even people who weren't cyclists, people who don't ride their bikes yet, people who were curious about the whole bike commuting thing, na bigla silang naging optimistic, and then within 5 hours, it was taken back from them. And that's one thing that really got mainstream.
Yeah. And interestingly, I know people had plans of trying the bike lane in the afternoon, but all of a sudden, they wouldn't be able to. So, yeah, that was a very confusing time. So,
pero more I think,
go ahead.
One thing we shouldn't miss there is that those 500 people could have been 500 cars. And just imagine gaano kahaba, how long a stretch on EDSA that would be if it's 500 cars. I think ang EDSA, that part is 4 lanes, diba? So, sabihin na natin na 4 lanes times ilan bang meters ang isang sasakyan? Sabihin natin 2 meters, no? Including the space in between, that would be 3 meters.
Yeah.
Quick maths. 500 divided by 4 divided by 3. 41 yung row. So, I think it's around 125 meters. May mga ganun. Yung stretch of how long or how much space would be used if the, those 500 cyclists were driving cars.
Yeah, that's right. Another thing I noticed, like with, because cycling has been like thrust into the limelight all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So obviously like the government offices are, and government bodies are recognizing, you know, the importance of cycling as a mode of transportation. And if I'm like, tama right na, it was MMDA who said like they're considered a primary mode of transport rather than a alternative one. Is that right, mm-hmm. John? Yeah.
Yeah, they've been saying many different things.
Yeah. I just what I remember is that like from alternative, it's becoming like a primary mode of transport. But then there are some people who are contesting that they're saying, it should be public transport first. But as if cycling as a primary mode of transport is going to like take away support for public transportation. I remember engaging in a Twitter discussion with someone
the discussion go?
I was civil but it was a little bit frustrating because I was already talking with like another with Anton C, urban planner, passing transport. We were both like saying that, like it's a different issue, like the one with public transport, like why the government is lessening the capacity because more of physical distancing, but it doesn't mean that supporting cycling as a primary mode of transport means that it's the only mode of transport that they're going to prioritize. So I hope that's clear to other people. I guess
I don't know, what we're forgetting is, or what we're not realizing is, we're sort of being pit against each other. Ano ba? Public transport ba or cycling? When it should be both working together, complementing each other.
Yeah.
And in some way, ganun din yung mindset ni MMDA. Yung mga siklista, magbike din sa sidewalk. And syempre, conflicts will arise. Yung mga pedestrians na, kulang na nga yung space sa sidewalk, tapos din po tayo magbibisikleta.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be like one or the other, especially like with cycling. Like, because cycling can be part of a bimodal mode of transport. Exactly. Like it works really well. Like if you have a bike and then for longer distances, like you can bring it on the train or even like on a bus, like in other countries, like in the US, like with San Francisco, or in Europe, in Australia. But here, as far as I know, it's very limited, like bringing bikes on trains. I think it's only limited to folding bicycles. Mm. So I think, exchange, like for me, exposed a reality that there's still some people who look at transport in a very black and white perspective-ish. So, so hopefully, like, we realize that, like, okay, it's not about pitting one form of transport against the other. Like, it's really about trying to make things work together. Like, we're moving people together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that it just goes to our campaign that we launched recently.
Gotta shift gears.
Yes.
So, Jan, for our listeners who don't really know what we're talking about, we did launch a sort of like campaign called #ShiftingGearsPH, where we encourage people to share stories of how they've shifted their mindset from moving cars to moving people. Not necessarily like, although like we'd encourage people to talk about like how they got into riding the bicycle. It's not necessarily limited to that. It's really about moving people versus moving only cars. So Jan, I'm wondering, like, what stories have you seen, and
I think the one that I really remember is yung kay Rafi Cepeda, and it is because he also messaged me after I posted my Shifting Gears PH story. Sabi niya, uy, pwede ba akong post din ng coming of rage story. Kasi yun yung title na nilagay ko dun sa Facebook post ko. A coming of rage story. And here in his post, he sort of like, medyo similar yung experience namin na yung the whole frustration and rage over the traffic situation and how it has, and how it impacted his finances. Diba? Kasi he actually details in the post. For our listeners, you can go to cyclingmatters.ph/advocacy/shiftinggearsph, and you can see there all of the posts that have used the Shifting Gears PH hashtag. And in Rafi's post, he talks about how much he saved and how much he had to invest. So sabi niya dito, to keep up with my monthly expenses, I decided to buy a secondhand mini velo. Close open parenthesis, pinakamaangas na commuter, close parenthesis, for the price of 5,000. I figured that if I was spending around 3,000 for gas every month, after a month and a half, the bike would pay for itself. So he talks about the sort of like the economics of this for him, and how he really was able to save time, save money, gain strength dahil gusto niya rin magpalakas as a road cyclist, diba? And his post was also very encouraging to people. So he was telling people na, message me if you have any questions about biking commuting, tutulungan kita. Which is perfect to me because like that's all, nung nagsimula ako mag-bike commute, yun talaga yung spirit of by commuting for me, people just helping each other out, whether that's online and Facebook groups or on the road when you're, you know, you suffer a flat tire, suddenly someone you don't know stops for you and asks you if you're okay and helps you out. So that's a really nice shifting gear story for me. How about you?
So the one I found most striking in particular, well, it's my kaname. This is Karen Crisostomo of Bicycle Friendly Philippines. Well, aside from us having the same name, I really like what she shared. Because the cool thing about it's a little weird saying my own name. The cool thing about Karen is that in her post, like, she shares a lot of like intersecting things. Like, because there are a lot of like concerns people have like with cycling. Like, oh, like I'm a parent, I'm a mom, or like, oh, I'm too old to do that. But I feel like Karen like shatters all of those all those notions, all those misconceptions, because she's a mom, like she has several children, and well, like she's been bike commuting for like 20 plus years already, like whoa, like idol, man. Like, so and yeah, I think like she's really testament to how possible it is, like also cycling as a woman, because in several episodes of her podcast we've talked about issues of cycling as women in the Philippines, but she really shows that like it's possible, and to do that for 20 plus years. And yeah, and Karen has always been someone who has like such good energy, and I really felt that from her post. Like she was saying how she likes cycling because it's bonding time with her husband Rosar. It's and she really doesn't like being stuck in traffic. Same, I think, like when you ride the bicycle as a form of commute, like after that you're just like, okay, I know how fast it is. It's yeah. Like you never want to be stuck in traffic again.
Exactly. Yes.
So I feel that, and I like how she also asks like what can we do to like save our cities, like because it's about like, you know, advocacy and, you know, what each of us individually can do to, you know, help things out, because it really like we really do have a transport crisis aside now from our COVID-19 crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, to our listeners, if you want to participate, we definitely like would love to see or hear about your stories. So go ahead and post about it. We really want to hear like what made you shift your mindset from moving yes. cars to moving people. So do use the hashtag #ShiftingGearsPH.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also tag us, Cycling Matters.
Please make sure that your post is set to public so that we will see
so that we can see your post. So
we actually have a guest for this episode, and I think it's perfect that we asked him, how did he get into bikes? What was his shifting gears PH story? For that, I guess we should introduce our guest for today, Alex Silva. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Nakikita niyo ba ako?
Yes. Oh.
Okay. Sige.
And can you introduce yourself quickly, I guess? Alex.
I'm Alex Silva, maker and designer of the compact utility bike, the Cub.
Nice. All right. So he's pointing at the logo of Cub beside him for those who are listening in. Alex, how did you get into bikes?
Sa Manila din. Sa Manila, circa... that will be 1990, before 2000, 1990, ang hirap na matandaan na. The Commonwealth was still two-lane.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Commonwealth was still two lanes. Both sides ay parang gravel at saka, earth, no? Because I lived around Don Antonio Susuaregui,
ah, okay. Familiar.
Area before yung So that's when I started commuting to Amoranto, somewhere near Amoranto.
Okay.
So I started with the cheap bike, mountain bike, because that was the time of the mountain bike. And then I just slowly, the parts will start to, will start falling off, no? Because it's cheap parts. So you will start changing the parts until the last thing you haven't changed is the frame. And then you change the frame, and then you go into another frame. You'll try road bikes. You'll try other materials. But anyway, but I think that was also the time. What will happen to you when you bike is you will realize that you need to do something to make your commuting more, if you're that person, no? Parang, this is dangerous. This is we need more than this. You like to be treated as a legitimate user of the road. So I like to warn people, if you'll start bicycling, the next thing is don't be surprised. You'll be maybe an activist the next day or week. Anyway, so you will meet people thinking of the same. So we started a group called CICAD. That was CICAD, Cycling Advocates. That was and then we started helping organizations organize big rides like Amnesty International. We do the Human Rights Day bike ride, those things, no?
Mm-hmm. And anyway, what got you into designing and making your own bikes?
That will be, you'll not be satisfied. It's a common story for people who bike to have difficult time finding the bike that will fit them, no?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For example, most of the bicycle before, no, especially the road bikes, malalaki siya, no? Paano ko ba sasabihin yun? Delikado siya sa iyong sensitive gawa ng top tube, no? So anyway, ang mangyayari noon, you look for people who customize, no? Yung nagbubuo ng frames. So, but hindi naman lahat will do that because ang tawag nila, hardcore, nang papagawa ka pa ng sarili mong bike. But that's the way to continue enjoying biking, no? You use the bike that fits you. So
yes.
Anyway, so ganun din yung personal na experience ko, no? The first time I had this urge na I need to make a kind of customization, when I need to carry two of my children to school, parang grade 1, grade 2, and then yung isa ay nasa parang kindergarten. So I made nauso nun yung nagsimula nun yung extra cycle. That is yung extra cycle, sila yung nagsimula ng parang it's an attachment to make your bicycle long.
Okay.
So that became the long tail bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
But it was extra cycle who started and that inspired me. No, I can make that. And then I found the good thing about the Philippines is there's always some guy good with his hands, no? If you're not that guy, you find somebody will be always parang excited. Oh, let's do that. So cut pipes, welding, and then try, and then if it's not working, iterations, ganyan, no? So anyway, and then doon na, parang that's empowering, no? When you found like, oh, I can make something. And then the next time, there's another need. We have a bakery, a small bakery. we need bicycle for delivering breads, buying things. So we started, we built an adapter para doon sa folding bike para magkaroon siya ng rack in front, saka sa likod. Then the need, there's another need, bigger bike. So we made a trike for bakery supplies. So isang sako ng harina, something like that. So and then the last, itong cab, no, the story of the cab was yung story na yon, we were in the Philippines and then we went back to Japan, no. Yung youngest need to go to, we need to bring him and pick him up from the daycare. So and I was not happy, no. We have two older children, dalawa, na we use the what's common bicycle here in Japan, yung mama chari.
Yes.
Ganun yung dumarating yan sa Pilipinas, no, yung may upuan sa likod, may upuan sa harap. We also use that doon sa dalawang bata namin, but I was familiar with the front loader na long jan or back fit, no, sa Europe. So I know that's a good design. So yun, I have to make it. And then that's it, no. It was very I'm happy I did it, no.
Great, Alex. So sorry. On that note, like you talked about wanting to customize like your bike for your particular need, whether it's for essential travel, for delivery. So actually you wrote the piece for Rappler, It's Time to Create a True Pinoy Bicycle, where you advocate for the development of a local bicycle frame industry. So we were wondering if you could tell us more about how you envision the industry to be, the local bicycle frame industry to be.
Okay. When I started doon sa narrative, no? I started like local bicycle manufacturing industry or ano no. Then at the later part I told we can start with frame building because that is the easiest part we can start, no. We cannot make wheels, no, the yung rim or tire I think we can make, no, because we have rubber plantations or ano. But the frame, no, the frame is the easiest to manipulate, especially if it's made of steel, no. So maganda yung ano, no, you call it local bicycle frame industry, but this could be the beginning. But if we're dreaming, let's dream big, no. Why not after the frame industry, somebody will start making rims, somebody will start making hubs, somebody will start other parts, no. So anyway, the envision, no, the industry, the nasabi ko din dun sa article sa Rappler, the implementation of this parang industry, it's a bias, no, that it should be a local workshop, local community workshops, no, as opposed to big box factory. Yun yung parang ano, no, parang I kind of separate it kasi and then I also mentioned it's ano, no, more like the model is more like the how we build the jeepneys and the tricycle. You know, sa tabi ng bahay, sa likod ng bahay, may mga talyan, nagbubuo ng jeepney, nagbubuo ng tricycle. And nalulungkot lang ako ngayon, no, parang we're dismissing the jeepneys, we're dismissing the tricycle. The government is parang very committed to phasing it out. That's another story, no? Anong mangyayari doon sa nasa industry ng mga nagda-drive niyan, yung gumagawa niyan sa talyer. It's a whole ano, no, parang ecosystem, no. So anyway, we already have this experience of building a technology that parang responded to the needs of the community, no? That was the good thing about jeepneys and tricycle, organic yung growth niya, no? Dumami siya kasi may need, kasi parang imagine mo sa isang town, no? Mayroong gumagawa ng jeepney or yung gumagawa ng jeepney nasa isang neighborhood. Ako yung isang pamilya, mayroong need for ano, the jeepney to ferry passengers or ferry cargo. Then mag-iinvest sila, uutang siguro, but they'll make it happen, no? Then ganun ang development ng jeepney. So the good thing about local workshop, community workshop making the bicycle is aside from creating livelihood, nabanggit ko yung kanina kay Jan, no, parang this idea of bicycle as prosthetics.
Yes.
This idea of bicycle as a prosthetics, no? Prosthetic, ang pinaka isang example ng prosthetics is yung na-aksidente, naputol ang paa or naputol ang kamay, and then they will build a prosthetic to substitute for the yung injury, no, yung nawalang part. So makakalakad yung tao, but the most important is to build a prosthetic na that will fit the person. Hindi mo siya pwedeng kabitan ng mas mahabang prosthetic kesa doon sa kaliwang paa niya, no? Hindi siya makakalakad ng maayos or maluwag, hindi pwede. I think the bicycle should work like that too, no? So if going by that logic, parang the bicycle we can make really good bicycles, so the bicycle that will fit the users, if they are being made in your local workshop, you're talking to the builder, you're exchanging ideas, you're measuring your what, no, than the big box factory making mass produced, ngayon ang uso gravel bike, o ngayon ang uso mountain bike, magagawa tayo ng ganitong size kasi ito yung average size ng market, and then we flood the market, no, and then people will buy because that's what's available, and then they'll find out malaki yung frame or masyadong malaki yung gulong para sa akin. Like 29, no? 29 inches.
I personally experienced that. Una kong bike is mountain bike na 29er. Exactly.
29 for small people. It works if you're into, the advantage of 29 is bumps, no? It can go over big bumps. So,
yeah.
Ang application niya yung nasa the downhill or what. But, sa nga pala, we're talking about bicycle that will be used by nanay, no? Ang nanay, mamamalengke, hindi niya maiwan yung anak niya kasi walang mag-aalaga. So kailangan niyang kasama ang anak niya to shop, no, sa palengke. So ilalagay mo yung bata sa bike, tapos yung pinamalengke mo, you need to put it somewhere. Yung ganong bike ang pinag-uusapan natin, not bicycle that will be used for racing or for tricks or for I'm not against that, no. I also like I also like that bicycles, but we're talking about bicycles na kasi if we're thinking about ang narrative kasi sa ibang bansa, bicycle is substitute for cars, di ba? It also applies to us, but we can see that bicycles could also be a substitute for tricycles and jeepneys, like short trips, no? So and you know, people will save money kesa magbayad ng pamasahe. Yung ganun na situation, and it could be an alternative kung malakas ang ulan ngayon, I'll take the tricycle, but if it's a good weather, nice sunset, why not? I'll take my bike, no? So, yun. Naligaw na yata ako.
Hindi na.
So, that's the, ano, no? Parang, yung, the keyword is localization. Yun pala, no? Localization. The word is localization. Localization, hindi lang ito applicable sa ano eh, sa bike industry, no? It's also, di ba, local food? We're talking about local food. So, that's a localization, no? We're talking about we need to eat locally sa mga restaurants na ano. So, ganun din. Sa, it's also good for the bicycle technology for to be localized.
Right, I agree. Ang ganda nga ng idea no, of bicycle as prosthetics, like I mentioned earlier to you. And that's something that we in Cycling Matters also sometimes talk about. Na, so, when we were riding, we sometimes feel like the bike is an extension of our bodies.
Yeah.
If your bike is, I mean, a lot of, to be honest, most of us in Cycling Matters are road bike users. Although we have other bikes as well. And sobrang important ng fit, di ba? If you're going doing it for performance or even for commute, it changes the way you your relationship basically to your bicycle. And I feel nga na, that's something that's also overlooked when it comes to the more utility type uses of the bike. Na pag commute or pag deliver ng products or items or in your case, di ba, transporting your children, you can't just use something that is out of the straight from the factory and expect it to serve your unique. And yung actually yung curious lang ako is that how it might impact the accessibility of the bikes. But I guess we can talk about it in more detail with my next question, which is, could you tell us a bit about how you imagine these bikes being built? First, what kind of frame materials and methods do you imagine be used?
The way we built, no, sa cab, no, yes. Most of our bicycles are built using using junk bicycles, no, or okay, not junk. No, when we say junk, it's something hindi mo na ginagamit or hindi ginagamit. But anyway, it's we use donor frames, no? We use donor frames. So kasi yun ang yun yung available, no? At tapos ang ganito yan, no, when we built for example yung bike ni Christian, I like to tell you more about Christian, no? Christian Sobrepeña. He brought us the bicycle they're using, no? It's okay. It's a Japanese Mama Chari, no? Meron siyang dalawang anak, isang nakaupo sa basket in front of, yung nakapatong sa handlebar na basket. And meron siyang isang bata sa likod. No? So, he brought that to the shop. And then, when we were done with the construction, we put back everything. Binalik lang namin yung parts, no?
Okay.
So, yung mga materials na hindi namin makukuha doon sa donor bikes, maybe we'll get it from other donor bikes, or if it's available sa construction sa hardware, we'll get it from the hardware. Kasi the principle is you work with what's available to you. Okay? Kasi hindi ka naman naghahabol ng you're not running after the it will be super light or super kinis, no? Utilitarian talaga yung approach, no?
Right. But so, then what if someone approaches you and asks if that they want a something built from scratch? Is it something that you're still open to?
Ulit.
What if mayroong lumapit na gusto ko from scratch yung pag-build nung like all new parts sourced.
Okay. In that case, though, if somebody maybe I'll just give them a blueprint, a plan.
Okay.
Because anyway, if you know a builder, may paborito kang builder who can make it from scratch, then that's the right person to do it. Sa amin, no? Sa amin, since we started, that's the kind of path we took, no? I think it's inevitable that we will also take that path na we will need to start learning how to do it from scratch, making the chain space, making the but hanggang ngayon, we are happy to make it from old bicycles. If you will think about it, that makes the bicycle may nagsabi noon carbon neutral or carbon negative.
When in one of our conversations, ganda kasi the idea of repurposing, I think the local term, and this is coming from Brian, is that yung katay or parang in my mind parang Frankenstein, but apparent lang yung image of Frankenstein, but this one is like we're creating something new out of things that are not being used anymore, and that minimizes the cost and also minimizes and even reduces ultimately the carbon footprint of the production.
Pwede to hanggang Mad Max scenario. Anyway, kasi tinan mo, if we are all making bicycle fresh or may tawag sila doon . Ayoko ng word na yun, yung virgin materials. Anyway, fresh materials, yung raw, no? Then these mining companies, we need to keep on digging, for destroying mountains and digging metals and, While, kasi ako, ang nakita ko, nakatira kami dito sa Japan, sa Tokyo. I think it will be that Tokyo or Japan will continue to dump junk bicycles to the third world countries like us, no? And then I think ang Pilipinas naman will be very happy to accept that because they see value in it, no? Maraming nagninegosyo ng junk bicycle sa Pilipinas. And then, sa Batangas, around us, ang nakakalungkot nun, marami kang makikitang bundok ng junk bicycle. Hindi nila ma-dispose. No? Hindi nila ma-dispose. Kasi the market is also, mahirap din yung market nila kasi bibilin mo as is. No? Ganun ang gusto nila, bibilin mo as is. Eh, sira. Magpapagawa ka pa. Alam mo yun?
Ganun mahirap. Spare parts din hanapin,
Tapos, ang target nila, yung ordinary ayoko din ng word na yun, yung ordinary na tao. Sino bang hindi ordinary yung tao? Ang target nila, yung masa. Pero hindi rin affordable sa mga tao kasi they're selling it as 3,000, 2,500. Wala namang ang mga tao, wala naman silang handang ganong parang ekstrang pera, no? So, tumatambak siya. Ewan ko lang ngayon, ha, kung with the situation, kung people will, it's a good investment, I need it, parang ganyan.
Mm-hmm.
Nasagot ko ba yung tanong mo?
Yes. I think we can, like go zoom into the discussion now about the cub, the compact utility bicycle. You already earlier mentioned it, like when bringing your kids. So tell us more about it in particular.
The cub.
Yes, yes.
Okay. The cub, okay. Compact utility bike, no? Why compact? Ang history kasi nung cub, ay dito ko it's here in Tokyo I conceptualize the idea. Because nandito rin yung need, no? Dito nag-arise yung need for the cab. So the environment of Tokyo is very congested, no? So the traditional or the, how do you say that? The cargo bike na front loader na that will come from the market will not fit in Tokyo. It's very big. So that the challenge for me, no, I was inspired by one maker that is a Colombia Norway. I think that's a Colombia Norway parang collaboration. The name of the cargo bike was Bogby or Bogby Bogota. I don't know. Anyway, they were claiming it's compact. The cargo bike was claiming compact. Pero still it will not fit Tokyo. So for some time my challenge was how can I make this cargo bike smaller pa. So anyway, yun yung parang problem. And then one trick was to use 20 inches wheel. No, what 20 inches wheel? 20 inches wheel is a very interesting wheel. Yan ay popular sa BMX at saka sa mga pedicab, no? So, I know that 20 inches wheel is a very strong wheel. So, it fits the cargo bike. Nakita mo yung mga tricycad natin, yung mga pedicab sa Maynila, how much cargo they put, no? And then this wheel, this 20 inches wheel can hold the load, no? So, and then that also, using 20 inches wheel will make the bicycle smaller, no? The common, parang the common available front loader, long jan type ng cargo bike, they use bigger wheel sa likod, 26 inches, and 24 or 22 or 20 sa unahan. So, sa akin, I use sa cab, 20 inches pareho. That's also good kasi alam mo yon, pagpudpud na yung sa likod, naunang napupudpud ang gulong sa likod eh, no? Pwede mong pagpalitin yon, yung una at likod. And then you lengthen the lifespan ng ng tire, no? So maganda yon economically. So anyway, the next challenge of the design is how to make it shorter. And there's another trick, no? Should I go into very technical detail?
you can touch on it if you want.
Okay. Anyway, I call it a wishbone, no? I call it a wishbone, the wishbone part, yung wishbone part. Aywan ko lang kung meron tayong picture of yung bare yung frame. So anyway, that most of the cargo bikes, pag pinansin nyo, malayo yung front wheel, malayo yung cargo part, no? There's sa construction yun ng ng chassis na pumupunta sa head tube. Anyway, by making this wishbone, no? I was able to put the front wheel na palapit ko pa yung cargo box at saka yung front wheel. So it makes it shorter pa. So yun yung kwento noon. And then what another trick to make it compact was the forward crank setup. This is interesting, no? Forward crank setup is a very interesting sukat, no? Or a design sa bisikleta. Because I like to emphasize on this, no? Most of the bicycles available na ginagamit ng mga commuters are mountain bike, road bike. Mapapansin nyo, the seat tube, no? The seat tube ay very steep ang angle. No. It's good, no? It's good for if you're doing sports. It's good if you're doing, ano, because that's a very efficient setup, no?
Right.
You put the seat height na ang leg mo, no? Nakatama yung anong tawag to? Pag pumipedal ka, naiikot mo yung ano. But the problem is when you need to dismount, when you stop, when you need to stop, and you need to either tutukod mo yung paa mo, di ba?
Oh, okay. Lalo dalawa na kung nakatipto ka.
Oh, yun. Mm. Dalawa yun, no? Either kung ayaw mong umalis sa upuan, nakatipto ka.
Oh.
That is very dangerous sa commuting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Either you like to be safer, magdi-dismount ka. And then right.
But it's a hassle.
But it's also another step. Ano yun eh? May delay yung reaction mo when you need to really stop suddenly, no?
Right,
yung dismounting yun. It's another step, no? So, the forward crank solves that problem.
Mm-hmm.
You are sitting, if you need to put your feet down, flat, almost flat pa rin siya, and you're very stable. If you're bringing children, no? Lalong kailangan mo yun kasi you need to be stable. Ang delikado kasi, if you're bringing children, may weight, no? Lalo na yung design na mataas ang angkasa ng bata. Mataas yung weight. Pag nakatipto ka, gumalaw yung bata ng kaunti, the weight will pull you down, no? Nandun na yung mga aksidente. So, this forward cramp is common to the Dutch bike. Okay. The Dutch bike, ang mapapansin nyo, the Dutch bike, pagka nanood kayo ng mga pictures and video, they're sitting upright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, ano rin yan, that's the geometry of the seat, yung relationship ng seat sa handlebar, no? Hindi ka nakagano, no? Hindi ka naka, that's a, that is needed for sports. You need to be aggressive, no? Kasi aerodynamic din yun, ganyan. But, commuting ano iba yung dynamics ng commuting, no? Kasi ang pinaka-importante sa commuting is safety.
Yeah.
I think that's for me is the safety kasi yun na yung bottom line, no? Baka kauwi ka, makakapunta ka sa trabaho na hindi ka na accident.
Especially if kasama mo yung anak ko.
Lalo na kung may bata ka, no? Parang you like your ano, no? Parang child to be safe there in the box.
Yes.
So anyway, that's another ano no, that's another topic, this sitting upright, anong effect niyan sa vision ng nagko-commute? He can see nakatingin ka kasi sa ano eh. Your when you're sitting upright, you see everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sabi nila sa Netherlands, it contributes to the ano, yung walang accident kasi everybody's aware of of everything, no? Madali pang tumingin sa likod, madaling tumingin sa ibang side. So ganun yung character nung cab.
Yeah.
So actually compact, that's a compact utility, no? The next word is utility. Kasi ang tawag nila sa cargo bike is cargo bike, no? But I said my child is not a cargo.
Well, yeah.
So, sabi ko, maybe ano, and also the word utility is very ano, no? Parang magandang pakinggan, utility. Ang ibig sabihin, maraming gamit.
Yes. Yeah.
Pwedeng ganito. Yun ang marami siyang iba't ibang use. So, it's a utility. And bike is because it's a bicycle, dalawang gulong niya. So, that's the cab, no? Yung edit na ginagamit ko na dito sa Japan and we're also using it in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
I realize it's for people who are like me, no, ganitong size, no. It could be for the cities na like Tokyo na congested. So dinala ko siya sa Taipei. Naglibot ako sa Taipei and masaya siyang gamitin sa Taipei. So, So, yun, parang that is the story of the cab.
With the cab, could you tell us about like memorable builds you've had and like how many cubs have you made so far?
Anong nakalagay doon sa litrato? Diyan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wow.
But these are all I like to clear that most of the projects we did was mostly prototyping.
Okay,
no?
All right.
Hindi pa kami doon sa point na we're fabricating for mga orders, parang maraming order, then gawa ka lang ng gawa. So, we are prototyping. And most of these number of bicycles, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, are mostly our prototypes. Of course, the most memorable build is the version 1. The first build, kasi that's where all these versions came from. By the way, umabot kami ng version 4. Yun yung malalaki ang malalaki ang corrections, no? Parang mali ito, then we need to make another version, ganyan. Umabot kami ng 4. Sabi namin, okay, 4 we can show it to people, and if they like it, we can build a number 4. But one of the parang special project na ginawa namin is itong we built a bicycle for Christian Sobrepeña and his child, si Ian. Nakatanggap ako ng sulat na ng message siya, sabi niya, "Sir, bagay na bagay yan sa amin, yung bike." Tapos sinabi niya yung special need ng kanyang anak na si Ian. Doon sa luma nilang bike, si Ian is sitting on the front basket. Sa front basket siya. I think if doon sa litrato ng madaming bike, it will be the on the right lower part, no? Ang pangalan nung bike ay si Doraemon.
Bakit
Doraemon? Elmo dilaw.
Oh, kasi tinatanong ko anong gusto niyong kulay? Ay nga, Doraemon. Ah, sige, paborito ng mga bata yung Doraemon. So anyway, si Ian ay meron siyang sakit, problema na hindi niya masyadong ma-control ang kanyang, anong tawag dito? Kanyang katawan, no? Yung kanyang katawan. Yung head niya, hindi niya ma-support naturally. So, tapos lumalaki na siya, hindi na siya kaya nung front na basket. Hindi naman siya pwedeng lumipat sa ang ano kasi nung bicycle na ganun dito sa Japan, yung maliit na bata na sa unahan, yung mas malaking bata na sa likod. Mm-hmm. But Ian is actually the oldest, yung younger sister niya na sa likod. But hindi naman pwedeng lumipat si Ian kasi hindi niya nga kayang Tapos hindi magandang set up 'yon na itong tatay hindi niya makita yung anak niya sa likod, yeah. No. So nakita nung ni Christian na maganda yung ganyang yung set up and nice ang and then we started building it. Sabi ko sige, subukan natin. Pinakamaganda niyan if we can just put back all the parts ng bike mo after the parang modification or customization. Mm-hmm. And it worked. Nakakatuwa, every time magpapadala siya ng or nagpo-post siya sa Facebook na namamasyal sila sa Marikina sa riverbank. Yun yung nice. So, that's very encouraging na kung, kasi iniisip ko, no, kung if we have more of these workshops that has that kind of capability to customize for this kind of needs. May pupuntahan ng mga tao na ako, halimbawa, gusto ko magtinda ng taho, pero nahihirapan ako maglakad, tapos natatraffic ako pag sumasakay pa ako ng jeep, dala ko yung taho para pumunta dun sa place ko. merong bisikleta dyan. Diba? We can think of something na we can put this taho in the bicycle. Yung mm-hmm. yung ganun na na ano na na dynamics ng pagsagot sa needs. I yes. think mass production will not ano yeah. will not do that, no.
So, that's a really nice way to put it, no. Kasi if now that we're in this conversation kanina, pinag-usapan natin si shifting gears PH, no. We're in the conversation of moving people and not cars. And when we're addressing the needs of people, talagang kailangan na we meet their specific needs. Parang yung mindset natin has been in, di ba, mass production, oh, kuha ka lang ng kotse, pili ka ng kulay, and that's it, di ba? And maybe you want to find it on your own. Maybe with this proposition, your vision for the industry that we're discussing, maybe if we can really meet the needs of people and get people to ride bikes because bikes make sense to them and make sense for the purpose that they need them. And it's so nice imagining that it would be nice to really be able to carry our children on bikes one day in the streets in Manila.
I like to add, no, marami naman ano, no, sa in the past or hanggang ngayon, maraming local ano, local frame builders, no. Hindi ko pa rin nabibisita yung ano na yon, workshop na yon. There is this hindi ko alam kung isa yan o kung madami sila. Merong gumagawa ng frames ng parang BMX siya, BMX type, pero hindi na siya yung classic na BMX kasi minodify na nila yung frame. This is the frame they use for pedicab, for tricycad.
Oh,
these are locally, locally produced. No?
Ang na-post mo to dun sa Facebook group na cargo bikes.
Oh, so merong ganon, merong ng industry na ganon.
Yes.
So, and then ang tao, excuse me. ang mga tao, meron lagi silang attempt to anong tawag doon, independently, meron silang attempt to fix, no, yung mga problema nila. Kung sa Maynila, wala kaming public transport, so we make the pedicab and ferry parang passengers from this point to that point. Sa Divisoria, we need to carry cargo, we build this tricycad or what. And then merong laging ganong efforts, no? And then up to the point na it can be livelihood for many people na merong ruta itong pedicab na sineserve. Kaya lang, marami din experience na it will be the government who will, instead of helping these people, nakakita ka na ba ng malaking truck, itatambak lahat doon ng pedicab ng mga tao?
Oh.
Alam mo yun, hanap buhay yun ng mga tao. Meron silang sineserve na real needs, ha.
Yeah.
Pero hindi, istorbo kayo sa sa traffic, no. Hindi ako makadrive ng maayos kasi singit kayo ng singit. Yung ganun na karanasan. Sana ang kung mangyayari niyan, dadami ang tao sa kalsada, may kanya-kanya silang disenyo ng bisikleta. But if the infrastructure, kaya lang ano ba yan, no? Parang egg and chicken ba yan, no? Dadami ang
nag-bisikleta,
and then the infrastructure will be built, or you build the infrastructure para dumami ang bisikleta. So, ganun yung yung gusto kong sabihin.
Nandun nga talaga yung push and pull. I mean, we're seeing now that even if the infrastructure is not there, people are starting to ride their bikes. And then there is the proposal naman. Yes.
I like to add, no? For us people who like this future of maraming nagbabike. Ang isang model natin ay Netherlands, Amsterdam, di ba? Yung Scandinavian countries sa Europe. Ang gusto ko lang parang sabihin, hindi naman sila ganun kaagad, no. Hindi sila bike friendly at the start, no.
That's right.
Dumaan dumaan din sila doon sa history nila na they're all into cars. But I like to point out the most important factor kung bakit nagkaroon ng change sa kanila ay people demanded that to happen. And kasunod noon, they are into the political power, anong tawag doon? Decision makers sila, naging decision makers din sila, no? They influence the parties, they run into the offices, and then ganun, no, parang merong dynamics ng ito yung demand ng population, nakikinig yung people in power.
Yes.
Then they build this infrastructure, no? At nangyayari yan hanggang ngayon. So yun, parang importante yun na kung mayroon tayong vision na gusto natin ng local industry ng ano, ng bisikleta. Ano din yun? Political will din yun. We need to make that happen. Yes. Consciously. Parang ganyan, yes. No? We gather like-minded people and then say, oh, this is ano, this is good, will be good for us. Parang ganyan.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good like way to like to end this discussion, like how, and I really hope that like with Cub, like we could push for a local like bicycling manufacturing industry.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think my internet. so sorry about that. But yeah,
hello. Before we end, I'm inviting ano. Cycling Matters to visit the workshop.
Oh, exciting.
Okay. Kung hindi naman kayo makibisita, we like you to test ano prototypes. It's very helpful na people are testing the bicycle and giving us feedback, no. Pangit niyan. Dapat ganito 'yan. That's a healthy
design process.
Process.
Yep.
So, meron kaming bagong prototype. It's parang maganda yung timing. It's World Bicycle Day and we came up, we finished one prototype. So, we'll make an announcement soon. Papakita namin yung ano. But, yun, you're invited to visit the workshop in one of your rides, no?
Yes.
You can visit the lake, sa Taal Lake. It's a nice ride.
Pwede ba siya sa baba?
The loop, no? You can do this, parang you ride, you're beside the lake. Parang may circumferential road right. Yung lake, eh. And you can pass by our shop in Tanawan, Batangas.
Yes. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, and we'll keep that in mind. So that ends our.
Maraming salamat.
Thank you so much, Alex, for.
Maraming salamat for giving me the opportunity to share my thoughts.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you can find podcasts. Our episodes are the next best thing to riding your bike on a Monday. Just search Cycling Matters on your favorite podcast platform to start your day. Put on some earphones and enjoy the discussion. You can catch more of Cycling Matters on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, or on our website at cyclingmatters.ph. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Cycling Matters podcast. Until then, stay safe and ride safe, Philippines. Bye!